It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A half century ago, the Oakland area of Pittsburgh was described as a thriving residential neighborhood that just happened to have a couple of universities. But now you might say it's the exact opposite, an area dominated by universities, Pitt in particular, overrun partly by students scrambling for housing and willing to pay rent to any unscrupulous landlord willing to exceed the legal occupancy limits. In some areas, it's led to a significant decline in the quality of life in Oakland. But in the last 3 years, an organization has emerged to address these issues. It's called Oakwatch, and I'm joined now in Studio A by Hanson Kappelman, one of the co-chairs of Oakwatch. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
How was Oakwatch started?
Oakwatch grew out of the Oakland 2025 planning process, which was an effort of the Oakland Task Force, which is a group of a lot of the institutions in Oakland, managed by the Oakland Planning and Development Corporation. And the process started with a number of small groups of residents, employees, and other people interested in Oakland meeting in a particular format to encourage discussion, to envision what they would like Oakland to look like in the year 2025.
And how big of a problem was over-occupancy?
Over-occupancy, we have been realizing more and more, is a major problem, particularly in the Oak Cliff area of South Oakland and more and more in Central Oakland. As long-established families live there, the kids grow up, they move out, the parents age, and a house becomes available, landlords seem to be the ones with the ready cash, and to a certain extent, it seems a premium of cash to be able to buy up the houses, turn them into apartments, whether it's fully legally or not, and begin renting them out primarily to students.
What are the laws right now as they stand, as they're written?
Well,
what are the limits that are in place?
It's all based on the zoning code. So there are single family zoning areas. And so then the city had to define, well, what's a family? And so a family is either a natural, what you would assume to be a family, or no more than three unrelated people living together in one, what would be called a dwelling, whether it's a particular apartment or a whole house or whatever is seen as one unit to occupy.
But there are ways around those laws. I mean, they may not be legal, but people find their ways around them, don't they?
True. I mean, we all know that regardless of what the laws are, people will do what they want. You know, we see it on the streets all the time in terms of people going through red lights and pedestrians crossing against the light and, you know, whatever it might be. We see landlords, and I certainly don't want to paint too broad a brush here. There are many landlords in Oakland that are doing what they should be doing. But there are those few who, you're right, they will, you know, if they've got three bedrooms, maybe they'll put six people in there. If they've got six bedrooms, they'll certainly try to put six people in there. And both of those things is against the code. And that's why we have Oakwatch, the Oakland Code Enforcement Project, to try and help the city realize what's going on, figure out how we can help the city in enforcing the codes that are on the books.
Let me play devil's advocate here.
Certainly.
Thinking back to the days of being a student and for, you know, those who are still in college and are about to head back to school here in a couple of weeks, so much of the experience of being a student is a matter of trying to survive, trying to find enough affordable housing, food, et cetera. If students are willing to double up on rooms that might by law be designed for one person, but they put in a bunk bed or whatever to make it a two-person room instead of a one-person room, if the students are willing to pay, what's the big deal? What kind of problems is this really causing?
aside from the fact that it's against the law, yeah. There are a number of problems that we have seen arise because of that sort of over-occupancy.
Such as?
Well, it does increase health hazards to the students because when you realize that a landlord is willing to break that particular code, then the question is, what other codes are they willing to break in terms of not fixing locks on doors or on windows, not necessarily having the plumbing working the way it should, all kinds of other things that may put those very students at risk. In addition, it affects the neighborhood. If you're a owner-occupier next to a place that's over-occupied, then there's much more traffic on the street, many more people coming and going. Many of those kids, not all, but it turns out many of them are going to want to have cars. We know Oakland has a big parking problem, even if there were just one car per household. But you get more and more students in there, and they bring more and more cars. Even if it's a permit area, there's no limit on the number of parking permits that can be issued per address. So that just makes the parking problems even worse. The other thing that tends to happen is a tendency for, again, not all students, but some students to have parties that not only are just parties like you and I might attend, but that tend to get out of control. Too many people come. Very often they put together a party and they don't realize how many people are going to be coming. And instead of 10 or 20, it turns into 50, 100. We've even heard of 200.
Are we talking Animal House here? Is that what?
It can turn into that.
So, and what does Oak Watch do to address these problems then? What do you do to try to ameliorate the situation?
Well, as you said, Oak Watch has been organized now for 3 years. Over that time, we have looked at the problems, trying to figure out who is responsible for dealing with those problems. We have a monthly meeting. We meet the third Wednesday of the month. It alternates between noon and evening so that we can try and accommodate most people's schedules. And we have brought together from the city and Pitt in particular, and even the county, the people who are responsible for dealing with a lot of these issues. So we have BBI there. We have the office that handles the disruptive properties ordinance. We have the mayor's office. We have reps from the city council, people who are in the district. Public
so you are,
works,
in many
the
ways,
city
the,
police,
the eyes
Pitt
and
police.
Ears for these organizations.
That's what we do, right. We started out initially saying, okay, we've got 311. How can we make that work better? So we said to the residents, you know, call 311, go on the internet, get a tracking number and give it to us, and we'll monitor these calls and we'll see who in the city should be handling them and follow up with them. And so that's what we do. We try to collect the information from the residents and we pass it on to the people who can make a difference.
If you are an Oakland resident, we'd like to hear about the issues that concern you in that neighborhood. What problems do you think need to be addressed? What improvements would you like to see? And if you know about Oak Watch, what are some of the ideas it has that can be adopted in your neighborhood? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH@WESA.FM. On Twitter, at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. What are some of the problems that Oak Watch has in its sites, in addition to what you've already discussed here?
Overoccupancy is, as I said, been recognized more and more as a major, major problem. The other big problem we're dealing with are these big parties that I talked about. Again, it's not every student, it's not every house, but there are enough still going on that cause noise, foster underage drinking, other kinds of minor things. Well, some people might not consider them minor, but public urination and just general noise in the neighborhood as students are coming and going, as they're playing loud music, spilling out into the backyard perhaps, talking loudly. and then there are all kinds of, you know, minor kinds of things. Trash that's not handled properly. Again, city ordinances say it needs to be stored in a container with a top. A lot of landlords aren't providing those kinds of containers, and that tends to bring on vermin and other pests that can be a problem in the neighborhood.
How much of this is about restoring balance to the neighborhood? I mentioned at the outset the description of Oakland 50 years ago as a thriving residential neighborhood that just happened to have a couple of universities. But now really when you think of Oakland, I mean, right, that's the identity of Oakland, is the colleges.
It has become that, yes.
So is this about balancing the neighborhood, tilting it back more toward the way it was decades ago?
Yes. Part of the Oakland 2025 plan is trying to shift the demographics even a little bit to make it more of a family-friendly neighborhood. As you started out by saying, we've got these wonderful institutions. I mean, Oakland is the third largest generator of traffic and economic activity in the state. If people could live within walking distance, that would change, you know, help in terms of the environmental things that we're all trying to work for. It would also help to revive the community. And we see a number of major apartment buildings come in who are trying to target the young millennial demographic, the young professionals, people coming in to work as residents or interns or even young faculty at Pitt, doctors at UPMC. And we hope, and it's one of the things that OPDC tries to do more generally, is to be able to stabilize the single-family base and even bring it back a little bit.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about the problem of the exceeding the legal occupancy limits being exceeded in the areas in Oakland that are near the University of Pittsburgh and other colleges and universities there, and some of the problems that go along with that. Hanson Kappelman is one of the co-chairs of Oak Watch, a group that is attempting to, and to a large extent has dealt with, some of these problems. If you'd like to join the conversation with our guest, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. What kind of cooperation are you getting from the University of Pittsburgh?
We are, I cannot say enough about the kinds of things that the university has started to do. Initially, as you might expect, it was, well, they're not on Pitt campus, so we can't do anything. But they have really stepped up, really realized that this is part of their educational effort, that if they're concerned about the health and safety of their students, that has to extend off campus. One of several concrete things is they have started some block parties. So in the fall, this will be, I'm trying to think if it's second or third year, I guess, of having three block parties in three different parts of Oakland, to help foster the incoming students meeting the long-term residents who are living in that part of Oakland, and to put a face on their neighbors and to realize that these are people too, and that as you move from campus out into the community, you know, you need to recognize that you're making, you know, this is part of the transition in your life from being a child at home to being a citizen in the world. And part of that is to recognize you live in a neighborhood. And as part of that, there are responsibilities that you have to your neighbors.
Has Pitt always been as cooperative in these efforts?
No. Like I said, at the very beginning, we met a lot of resistance. But they have really stepped up. That is one thing. Another thing is they have started a booklet that they call the name escapes me, but it has to do with introducing students to campus life. This is the second year of it. They have revised it this year to highlight over occupancy. It is an attempt to, again, educate students about what it means to live in a community. And they, through the summer, as the students come in to get introduced to Pitt, one-on-one hand them this book with their parents and talk to them about what it means to be here in Oakland. That's a tremendous effort on their part.
We spoke with Alicia Carberry earlier this morning. She's the Oak Watch coordinator who acts as the administrative arm of the initiative. And one thing that she emphasized was strength in numbers when working with city officials. and the power of the new open data laws in Pittsburgh. Here's a brief excerpt of our conversation.
The difference is that our community members now feel empowered and feel engaged and know where to connect to the resources that they need to affect change, specifically code enforcement change. So at our meetings, it's a couple of different facets. We invite guest speakers to share information about different city processes to help everyone become more aware and connected to their neighborhood. And then when we do start to pursue different properties that have been previously overlooked, we're able to really target our enforcement and prioritize different things for enforcement officials. Whereas before that, there wasn't a unified voice, really, for Oakland to say, you know, this neighborhood, although not affected by violent crime or affected by some of these other things that other neighborhoods experience, our concerns are different but still valid, and they still affect the quality of life here in Oakland. And when we bring everyone together, we hear over and over and over again that having Oak Watch as a resource and having this connection to other officials really empowers different community members to be advocates for themselves and to also bring what they've done to the table so that we can all learn from each other and be more effective together.
And that was Alicia Carberry. She is the Oak Watch coordinator who acts as the administrative arm of the initiative. We're talking with Hanson Kappelman live here in Studio A. He is one of the co-chairs of Oak Watch. And how are you seeing this approach being adopted elsewhere?
I may not be the best person to speak to that. I know we have talked with other community organizations and certainly do what we can to help them. I mean, in a certain way, we're very fortunate in Oakland because we do have these major institutions and we do have the nonprofits like the Oakland Business Development Organization, like the Oakland Transportation Management Organization, and OPDC itself, who, particularly OPDC, provide, in a way, the staff support we need to do this kind of thing. So some of the institutions may be part of the cause of some of the problems, but they are also helping us work to be part of the solution. Other neighborhoods are going to have to adapt this model to the resources that they have. And I know of things in other communities. I don't think they're modeled on Oak Watch. In a way, we look to other communities as well to say, you know, what are they doing? What could we adopt? How are we different? Why is their group perhaps a closed meeting, whereas ours is an open meeting? So every neighborhood in Pittsburgh is Oakland is different, as you know. And I just want to say that we consider Oakland to be four neighborhoods that the city considers to be different: Central Oakland, North Oakland, West Oakland, and South Oakland.
And talk about how this program has been received by landlords and university students. How do you avoid neighborhood animosity?
Well, once again, I think most of the people have received us very well. We have students who come to the meetings. We have landlords who come to the meetings. Clearly, any landlord who values his property and values the revenue that he can get from it in a sustained way is going to be in favor of everybody obeying the laws that he's obeying or she is obeying. You know, there are those exceptions, and that's why Oak Watch exists. Those landlords who may be upset that we're perhaps cutting into their revenue because we're wanting them to only have three students in a unit. Again, there are those few students who, it appears, some of them try and pay the rent from some of these big parties they have, and in that they are disruptive parties and illegal parties, we will try and shut them down, and those students won't be very happy.
Hanson Kappelman is one of the co-chairs of Oak Watch. Thanks so much for joining us today on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, remembering Aliquippa native and former Attorney General Jesse Steinfeld. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.